You know, every time I have the privilege to lead God's people to worship or to share the word of God, I remember when the Lord called me and gave us a very, very strong burden. You know the vision of this ministry, right? To raise a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ. Glory! To do what? To raise a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ. God made me believe that if you have people who are completely passionate about Jesus Christ and passionate about his glory, every other thing in the Christian faith in their lives will fall into place. And so, if you've not heard the complete vision, let me read the complete thing. To raise a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. Can we say it together? Praise the Lord. So that's our mission, our vision, I mean to say. That's where we are going to raise a generation that is sold out completely to God. That's why, you know, somebody has asked, why is it that New Breed, we just like talking about spiritual growth, Bible study. And the person was asking, don't you talk about prosperity? I said, we talk about prosperity. We believe in prosperity. But there are some things that are higher than others in the kingdom of God. Are you with me? And that takes me to our mission. A vision is where you are going to. A mission is how you get there. Are you with me? The mission is, what do you do? What will you do that will produce where you are going to? The vision is, this is where we are going. The mission is, what will you do that will get there, that will bring you to that place that you are going to? So our vision is to raise a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ, represent the whole counsel of God. But how do we get there? We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness. You should remember this. If you don't know this part, you are a first timer. We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints. Sometimes we say by perfecting the saints. You are still correct. By perfecting the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What we are trying to say is that this vision to have a passion for the glory of Christ will only be possible if you grow spiritually. It will come by revelation. It will come by spiritual build-up until you are perfected unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You are not going to achieve that. Are you with me? So, somebody may come and wonder, why are you spending all this time worshiping? Don't you know time is going? If you really know who Christ is, you will spend time worshiping him. Are you with me? If you really see who Christ is, if your eyes open to who Christ is, all the struggles you have in your Christian faith, I'm telling you, they will fall away. I can assure you. Praise the Lord. I remember, you know, a story comes to my mind. I remember one day, many years ago, I was invited to minister somewhere. And it was a music concert. And, you know, music concerts, the choir would have rehearsed. They planned, the instrumentalists would have also rehearsed. So they planned a very hot jam to play that day. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's interesting. Are you with me? Good music is beautiful. And we have good music and we'll have more of it. Amen. So they rehearsed a very, very powerful jam. But they now invited me to minister before the instrumentalists will have that space for their jam. So, and that meeting, some days to that meeting, I had a strange encounter. I was praying in my room. And I had this encounter. I believe it's either an angel or the power of the Holy Spirit that took over me. And so, the power of God was flowing from my head to my toe in my room. I was just shaking like that. I said, this prayer was on Sunday and this was Tuesday. This was Tuesday and my body was vibrating like this. I said, this Sunday meeting, wahala go dey o. So, Saturday, I went and prayed again. As I started praying, that same feeling came back. It will stop. On Sunday, I was preparing for the program. I started praying again. It came back again. I said, today is today. I entered the hall to minister. As I climbed the keyboard, I started singing. Everywhere. Drama everywhere. People started screaming. So, my session now took longer. When I was done ministering, they could not play jam again. How do you want to play jam when half of the congregation is on the floor? Where do you want to start jamming from? And we were just shouting, screaming. Ushers were running to somebody, holding this person, holding that person. So they just, the organizer of the event told them, no more jam again. Program have ended. So after the meeting, they were angry with me. One of them was very angry with me. He said, he just came and spoiled our jam. Now, I'm going somewhere. Remember this morning, Supernatural Church, right? I'm going somewhere. Now, I was disturbed that he was angry. Not because I was the one that ministered. Understand me? It is that, can't you see the importance of the glory of God? Something that you don't see regularly. Something that you don't see all the time. How many times were you in a meeting and people were worshiping and the power of God took over? We had a bit of it just now where you can't even go beyond what you plan to. You want to sing more, but God has taken over. You want to preach, but God has taken over. That's the glory of God. Are you with me? I'm like, if a Christian cannot see that as priceless, there is something wrong. As a believer, every year, you should have at least 10 of such encounters, at least 10, where you are caught up in the glory. Oh my God. Tell your neighbor, caught up in the glory. You are caught up in sometimes in your prayer room. You feel this glory. You are carrying this glory inside. Say after me, I'm caught up in the glory. When you are like that, you know, today I want to talk about something. What I want to talk about will not be, it's not even be a subject. I will try, but if you are caught up in the glory, you will discover that half of the things that bother you will not even make sense any longer. The glory of God is beautiful. After that meeting, I went back to, it was a university, so I went to the hostel. Went there and saw students standing, waiting for Pastor Dave to come. This one came, sir, I was sick like this. As the ministry, something was happening, I saw an angel come and remove something from me. I said, that's right. This one said, I was having this pain. Something touched me and it left. After me, the glory of God. And let me tell you something. I'm trusting God that in a short while, all our churches will be centers of the glory. Yes. That's what revival really is. We're in a city. A time will come where young people are saying, let's go for service. Let's go. And when you're asking them, why are you going? They're not going to tell you they are serving meat pie and ice cream there. That's not the reason why they are going. They are going because there's something. They will tell you, the word of God is doing me. Something is happening there. The worship is touching me. That's how many of you came, right? I believe so, right?
Yes, sir.
Not all those meetings you see on Google. After the meeting, they are all chiking girls. Chiking. So during the sermon, they are just scrolling their phones. Say, ladies, service at the time, that one. That's not the glory. Glory should hit you and you forget. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in the month of May, we've been looking at the supernatural church and we've been laying down the rudiments of flowing in the supernatural. We emphasized the word of God last week, Wednesday. On Sunday, we emphasized the people of prayer. Were you blessed? You know, I got feedback from the other churches that prayer fire has started. Keep it burning. Let me tell you, I trust God that this Friday or next Friday, we should start a 6-hour all night. Pray. Let the river come out. Pray. You better pray, sleep off, and wake up and continue. Even if you are busy, while the prayer is going on, you are doing your work. So we have emphasized the word of God. We've emphasized the place of prayer. But today, the Holy Spirit is leading us to emphasize something crucial. I've called it purge. Tell your neighbor, purge. A course on sanctification. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 19. 2 Timothy 2 from verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Say after me, depart from iniquity. Verse 20. It says, but in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. and some to honor, and some to dishonor. You know, when I read this verse, one of the things that crossed my mind is, if there are some vessels to dishonor and vessels of wood and of earth, why are you still keeping them in the house? Are you with me? Because it's a great house. He's talking about, I believe he's talking about the body of Christ, that in a great house, there are some vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. Some vessels of wood, some vessels of earth. Why are you still keeping them there? If they are not going to be unto honor, why are you keeping them? Why are they still in the house? Then he tells us why. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Oh, so the reason why the vessels unto dishonor are still in the house is because God believes that they can choose to change. Are you with me? So even if a person is a vessel unto honor, even if he's a vessel of wood, he can decide one day that I'm going to purge myself of these things. Are you following me? He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Say amen. Amen. I want you to say after me, I'm a vessel unto honor. I'm a vessel unto honor. Can I tell you something? I know that such teachings may be scarce, but they are not scarce from the Bible. Are you hearing me? When I preach like this, some of my friends call me, they say, you are not Christocentric, you are becoming legalistic. No! This is Bible here. If a man purge himself, see, that's a conditional statement there. If a man, so God is telling you, do you want to be used by me? Can you purge yourself? If a man purge himself of these things, if a man purge himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So it's not a matter of God here, it's a matter of you. If a man will purge himself, sometimes I will purge myself. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. That means God is looking for people to use. God is the one. God is looking, who will I use? But you see, I've come to discover that God does not drop his standard even though it's urgent. Even though God is in a hurry to get something done, he will not drop his standard. You know, one of the reasons why I believe God is moving me to do this teaching is because revival is coming. I can feel it in my spirit. And let me tell you, for revival to come, you know, the Bible says John came preaching in the wilderness and he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So, for the master, for the Messiah to come, the path must be made straight. If the revival we are trusting God to see, we are going to see it, there has to be some cleansing. You know, there's something that has become a norm, and I plan to address it in this service. We are living in, oh my God, see, in this generation, if you are going to preach like this, you must be strong. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You must be bold and strong, because people may not like you. People may not like you. When you say, when I say, you cannot plan to be, you and a guy, you want to get married, but you're already living together, sleeping together, having sex together, wake up in the morning, wear clothes, and go to church together. Like you wake up and do morning devotion. And go to church together. No now. Oh, wrong now. How are you praying the prayer? Make his path straight. Make his path. Tell your neighbor, make his path straight. Make his path. Tell your neighbor, shout it out, make his path straight. Now, like I said earlier, this is not something God will do for you. This is something you will do for yourself. However, there is a sanctification that God has already done for you. It is because of what God has done for you, you can do this one for yourself. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 9. Because now somebody will be asking me, Pastor, I understand your message. We should purge ourselves of these things. But what if I don't have the power? Well, I'm here to tell you, you've got the power. You're about to release the power. Tell anybody, you've got the power. You're about to release the power. Amen. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Look at the Bible. The Bible was years ahead to tell us that a time will come when people will say it's bestiality they are doing. They will be marrying animals. That's what it means there. Abusers of themselves with mankind. He says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, when you read this, there's a tendency to think that, my God, this is the criteria to enter the kingdom of God. Oh, you must not be a thief. You must not be an extortioner. You must not be a drunkard. You must not be a reviler. How will I keep all these things? But he's telling you something, that the way to deal with this has already been done in Christ Jesus. Now, see verse 11. Look at this. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Glory! Say after me, I've been washed, I've been justified, I've been sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Glory! So, he's telling you that these kind of people, the extortioners, the revilers, the abusers of themselves with mankind, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But if you are born again, you are different. Now, it is because you are different, you can now purge yourself. Do you understand this? So now, if you go further into this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says in verse 15, he says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. So he's telling you that because you are now joined to Christ, you have the ability to purge yourself. Praise the Lord. So he's not trying to tell you to purge yourself on your own ability. But because you are born again, you have the power. Say, I've got the power. You have what it takes to purge yourself. Sometimes I can purge myself. So this is a sanctification that has been done by God. So because of what Christ has done, we can do something. We are not helpless. When it comes to the issues of sin, we are not helpless. Except that I'm not helpless. Glory. Let me show you another one. What you keep seeing that when the apostles thought about holiness and purity, they first of all showed you who you are and then showed you what to do based on who you are. So we are first made into his image, and then he wants us to walk like who we have become. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, say after me, I'm risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Say after me, Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Say it with a louder voice. Christ is my life. Oh, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Glory! He's telling you. So Christ is your life. Then see verse 5. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That's one. Inordinate affection. When you see yourself, you are a guy. You are liking a guy. It's inordinate. It's out of order. Do you understand? You know, we don't like talking about these things, but these things are real. You are a married man, but you like another man's wife. It's an inordinate affection. You should come and say, come, Christ is my life. Therefore, I mortify this feeling now. Are you following me? Tough things I'm saying, Abi. See, you have to tell yourself, this thing is not right. You will die in the name of Jesus. You have to practice it. I'm telling you, anybody you see walking in holiness, they do what I'm saying. I command you, die. I command this feeling to die in the name of Jesus. Practice it. When you see yourself, your eyes are going somewhere it should not go. Or your mind is going somewhere it should not go. You say, in the name of Jesus, I am crucified with Christ. Christ is my life. I command this feeling, die now. In the name of Jesus. When Satan proves stubborn, you go again. I command you, die now. When you do it 2-3 times, you are conditioning your spirit man to respond. Are you with me? You know, that's how to fight temptations. That's the Bible way Jesus showed us to fight temptations. How do you think Jesus fought the temptation of Satan on the mountain? You know, the Bible says, and Satan took Jesus up to a high mountain. So just imagine Jesus following Satan. I believe that temptation was happening in his mind. Are you with me? Satan took him in his mind and said, turn these stones to bread. And so he was hungry. So, and guess what Jesus was doing? He was speaking to fight temptations. Are you seeing what I'm showing you? He did not say, leave my mind now. Some people say, which kind of thought is that? That's not what he did. When as a brother, you see a sister passing and your mind is malingering. He did not go like this. Leave that thought. Leave my head now. That's not what he did. Instead, he responded, man shall, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Are you with me? Yes, so he did not fight thought with thought, but thought with words. Yes, so you want to condition yourself to follow God's plan, to purge yourself, you condition yourself with words. So when your mind wants to misbehave, you learn to say something like, out, nobody will understand. You and God. If you're around me, you would have noticed that sometimes I would just shout, ouch! Satan, get deep behind me. Sometimes it can be sickness. Ouch! Praise the Lord. So now he tells in Colossians, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's one, covetousness, which is idolatry. Many people downplay that one, but the Bible says covetousness, which is idolatry. Are you ready for Bible study? Do you want to be Christians? Covetousness. There is a way you can like somebody's thing. You want it so badly that if possible, you start wishing let the person die, make I collect them. It's called covetousness. Covetousness. There are some people, they will not rest as long as that thing that looks better is on you. They will not rest. If they have their way, they will find a way. Sell their phone and buy it. Covetousness. In this generation, we have a lot of it. Somebody's using that old Samsung. Is there anything like Samsung 3310? I'm so off. Then you're not coming to a place everybody's using iPhone 15. Your phone rings, you do like this. Come on, stay there, don't come out now. What are you? And the people don't even know how to. They say, why are you bringing out that radio? When phones are here, will you hide that radio? After a while, you start. All your mind is iPhone 15. iPhone 15. If you don't learn contentment, you will walk into iniquity. Generation. If you don't learn contentment, you have to learn it that God, if I have Motorola, at least he's still moving me forward. At least there is a motor inside. That's rolling. You will tell us, I will be content with this Motorola. That one that if they stone you on your head. Only God can save. Covetousness. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to ask you a question. What does the devil really gain by tempting man? What does the devil really gain? When the devil says to Jesus, turn stones to bread. What does he gain? Is it not Jesus that eats the bread? What does he really gain? He gains one thing. Your disconnection from the Lord. He destroys the depth of your intimacy with God. And he knows if he cannot bring you to that point, he cannot attack you. Are you following this? He wants to bring you to the point where you are disconnected from God. And so the Bible says, in Romans chapter 8 verse 13, it says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Romans 8 verse 13. You know, when Satan wants to destroy God's people, he sends temptations. When he wants to destroy your spiritual life, he sends temptations. Romans 8 verse 13. He says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The word mortify means put to death. Are you with me? Now, when I read this verse, it connects back to the verse in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. When God told Adam and Eve, if you eat this fruit, you will surely die. Are you with me? So he says here, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Compare it. If ye eat that fruit, you will surely die. But guess what? Adam and Eve ate the fruit and did not seem to die immediately. The death happened first spiritually, and it was obvious that they became naked. And as time went on, their walk with God was disconnected. It was now obvious that this death that God was speaking of was a spiritual thing. In the same way, when he's saying, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now, when people walk into sin and walk into the fornication or the works of the flesh and all of that, initially, it looks like they are still okay. Just like Adam and Eve, do you remember? It looks like they are okay. It seems like they've gone over it. After a while, they begin to discover how Satan will begin to use that in guilt. Condemnation. A time now comes, they want to pray. Pictures start coming to their mind. You know what's happening? Satan is now using that thing to haunt you, which haunts you. And gradually, you will now start seeing people saying things like this. My spiritual life is getting strained. My walk with God is getting strained. You want to pray. As you now to pray, Satan comes again. Say, you. You want to pray. Okay, now. You are walking on the road. You see somebody that is sick. As you want to say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of what? Will you keep quiet? You too won't pray. Satan will say, you won't follow prayer. You see what's happening? Gradually, he's restricting your authority. He's using that as a weapon of condemnation. But say, I will not give place to the devil. Say after me, I will give no place to the devil. Give him no place. He says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So this is serious. This tells you something why the supernatural lives of many believers are dying. They yield to the flesh. They yield to the flesh. Now, sometimes the flesh is not even outright sin. It is just what I would call worldliness. Worldliness. My God. Tell you what, purge. Somebody will just stay. You see, you are a believer. In a week, you've not prayed for up to 5 hours. Even if you do 30 minutes a day. The person has not prayed for 30 minutes a day, but he has watched films. Yo, Telemundo. Ah, Pragya, Pragya. Ah, Silavo. People are laughing. You watch like this. You watch like this. Make us see what's going to happen. Hey, you are left food on the fire. You are warming stew. After a while, the smell of the burnt stew is sweet in your nose. That makes sense. By the time the movie has gone far, your sense will come back. Hey! You go to the kitchen. And you go on like that. 1 week. No Bible. No prayer. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is what church should be. When you come to church, the church will inject you. Every service should be an injection. Inoculation to be okay. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, are you seeing something? The deeds of the body. Sometimes it's not even you. It is your body scratching you. Oh, I'm talking to somebody here. Sometimes it's not even you trying to. It's not that you want to do something bad. Have you not been in a situation where you want to do something, your body wants to do nothing? You want to serve God, or your body say, I want to do bad thing. I'm a very bad boy. I want to misbehave. And you are in that position where you want God, your body wants this way. You want God, your body wants this way. If you have never experienced this thing before, at least you have experienced fasting. Somebody's laughing. You want to fast like this. That's when boiled water will start smelling like boiled egg. You that before, if you are not fasting, 2 o'clock, you say, I never trouble. I'm not even fasting safe. I'm not hungry. 3 o'clock, I'm not even hungry. Now you are fasting. 8 a.m. Your stomach will be doing. You are worthy of my worship. Now, you want to fast, but your body wants to eat. Then you now, after all the struggle, 10 o'clock, you go and eat. You, your conscience tell you, but look at your life. And this is how you want to know God, Abby. He says, but if yet through the Spirit, and that's where I'm going to, how to purge. So as I round up, how do you purge yourself of these things? Remember, if yet through the Spirit, after me, through the Spirit. Say after me, through the Spirit. I'm not hearing you talk. Through the Spirit. If ye through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So how do you purge yourself of this worldliness and these things, this filthiness of the world of sin in your life? Number one, feed yourself with the things of the Spirit. Let me go over it. Feed yourself with the things of the Spirit over and above the things of the flesh. Feed yourself with the things of the Spirit over and above the things of the flesh. Feed yourself with the things of the Spirit over and above the things of the flesh. Feed yourself with the things of the Spirit over and above the things of the flesh. Galatians 5 verse 17. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. I remember seeing this verse many years ago. This verse was a revelation for me. It means that there is a constant battle going on. Oh, there is a battle going on at every point in time. So, whoever is fed the most will be the winner. That means a person who has watched movies for 8 hours in a week, 1 hour prayer may not survive. Are you following what I'm saying? It's called counterbalance. A person that has done 9 hours Telemundo will need like 10 hours Jesus. Hey, everybody's quiet. You will need to, you put in more. Let me give you a good example. Have you ever been in a situation where you came to church, and when you came to church, you felt like the church was boring? That yes. They were just singing and you're like, you are worthy of my worship. The day they are now. Of my praise. La 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 la. It was as if everything was a struggle for you. But as the worship continued, you don't know when you lifted up your hands. After a while, you started singing. La 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 la. You are worthy of my worship. The first time they said, shout glory.
Glory.
Shout glory. After a while, shout glory. Glory is warming up. After a while, glory. You know what is happening? This new emphasis, as you are putting pressure, your spirit man is gaining more ascendancy. Are you with me? Gradually, you are getting stronger in the spirit. If you are wise, you will go back, listen to the message again. That thing pastor said, it made sense. Tomorrow, you will add more again. Next tomorrow, by Sunday, when you come, mantakapa, hey, rata. After a while, you are praying. Everybody's praying. You start sensing that angels are here. After a while, you start sensing, I can feel the power of God here. God wants to heal. What you are experiencing is called spiritual growth. Somebody else, after that service, will go back home. Say, that service, it makes sense. So I was really blessed. He will not go back and stop from where the flesh. He said, come, let's continue. He used to, you will see somebody that he finished being blessed in church. As he go back home, that his girlfriend will come back. Hello, Jude. Hello, Jude. How are you doing? He's like, I'm seeking the Lord. A part of him saying, go for it. Eat that fruit. And that part said, no. You are worthy of my worship. That battle is going on. Now, what he does at that time will determine if you make progress. If he says no, Konji must kill a man. By the time you go and collect babe, by the end of the day, you are back to square zero. Oh God. A person now comes on Sunday again. Shout glory. Glory. It's starting again. And this is the story of many believers. They just keep going like that. Sometimes it may not be sexual immorality. Sometimes it's just Satan, distraction. You have gone home. As you want to just relax, something just happens. Somebody will just go and break your tap. You are coming with that glory. You're like, who do this thing? Who is this person? You are very, very stupid. You can feel the Holy Ghost telling you, calm down, calm down. Don't shout, don't shout. Just take it easy, take it easy. Absorb everything. Let this glory just be together. Breathe. He said, no. Hey, homie, conquer him like me. Today, the person will die. Before you know what is happening, all the blessing you received in the service for the younger people, that's when Satan would plan. As you are going home, your mother will just shout at you, you're a very, very stupid girl. You see, all that your work with God, you know what is happening? The devil is doing everything to ensure that your spirit man is choked. Are you following me? This is why you need to have Bible study. So you see the way the devil works. I remember many days, I will come back from those my Holy Ghost meetings, teenage Holy Ghost meetings, only to come back. As you just enter somewhere, the place will just fall and break. You just see Cain will come out. They will flog out all the anointing, all the spirit, all the word of knowledge you receive. After a while, it says, in this spiritual thing, self, should I be serious? It's as if the more I'm serious, the more Satan is serious on my matter. See, after me, I'm more than a conqueror. So you feed yourself over and above with the things of the spirit. Praise the Lord. Over and above with the things of the spirit. Number two, outright rejection of opportunities to sin. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 21 to 22, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. So, when you want to purge yourself of the worldly things, you have to run. You run, you flee, you japper. Are you with me? You are not negotiating. Don't say I'm a strong man. You are not strong. If yet through the spirit, if not, it's not through your muscle, if through the spirit, you are not strong. You're only strong in Christ. Don't say, oh, no worry, I will handle it. The Holy Ghost is telling you, if you go to that house, something will happen. Say, no, me? Do you know me? They are telling God, do you know me? Because I know you now. You end up in just as I am. With. Outright rejection. You take off. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. It says, flee youthful lust. Flee. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let me tell you something. Holiness is beautiful. When you look at there is a joy that comes when you know that guy, I've been walking in the light of his countenance. I remember many years ago the Lord told me, son, I want you to excel in the light. There is a way you would have gone so deep in purity that people who are in iniquity, you are not trying to judge them. They come around you and they are uncomfortable. Are you with me? You enter somewhere and say, pastor, don't come. You did not try to preach. You did not try to force anybody. You are just there and say, this guy, we no follow. I remember on one of my trips to Abuja, preaching to one white guy. The guy was asking me, do you smoke weed? I said, me? You're asking me if I smoke weed? Hey. I felt like saying, if you don't take time, I will weed out that smoke from your life. That takes you to the next thing. Number three, watch your associations. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There is a reason why he said, be not deceived, because you can be deceived. Let me tell you something. Nobody is bigger than influence. No matter how old you are, I have seen people being influenced. Nobody is bigger than influence. I'm telling you, stay with me long enough, you will be a spiritual person. Are you hearing me? Stay with a smoker long enough, you become a chimney. Stay with a womanizer long enough, you become a scoper. Oh my God. I'm telling you, even as a spiritual person, when you are surrounded around people that are not right, they are left. They are not right, they are left. You have to, I remember on the field, on the oil field, as spiritual as I was, oh my God. Every time I got to the field, when I just got there, when the boss, maybe in the car or in the, going to the oil well, they would just, someone just shout, OBS! So me, I was wondering, what one is OBS now? What does OBS mean? Until one day, one said, I will give you orientation. He said, OBS means observe. It means that there is a lady around. And it's just a code language to observe. One day, I didn't know when I shouted, OBS! I said, in the name of Jesus. Don't be like, Pastor. Pastor, you didn't observe to. When I discovered that I've joined to shout OBS, I said, okay. I went back that room. I entered my room. I prayed so much, they knocked on the door. I said, are you mad? Are you okay? And that takes me to the last point, number four, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 16, he says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's not saying that it will not come, but you will not fulfill it. It can come so close, but if you are walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill it. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. By the time I was done with praying that night, woke up in the morning, I came with new fire, blazing hot, came to the field. They were just saying, say, Pastor, just give us opening prayer because we see that it's boiling. Just give us opening prayer. After a while, they will come and start meeting me and say, Pastor, I'm really struggling. As you can see, I've become diehard in this thing. I'll pray. And gradually, when they want to now shout, the obvious, they'll look for Pastor. Oh! They will calm down. Because now, they could sense tempo has changed. Walk in the Spirit. That's why I was talking about the glory earlier on. Because there is a way you will walk in the Spirit. Let me tell you, I discovered, I don't know how to explain it, maybe I will try. I discovered the very things that were temptations to me, as I soaked in the Spirit, they began to irritate me. Oh my God. There were things that before when I see, now I see them and I want to vomit. Sometimes I'm like, I remember one day, I was in a taxi. A lady was, you know, this thing we're talking about, purge yourself. We are living in a very, very, people dress anyhow, both boys and girls, men and women, all of them. She was, from looking at her like this, yes. So that day, I don't know how I was sitting there and she was sitting beside me. So I just keep my face. Now, of course, obviously, I didn't try to make her know that I was doing that because of her. My neck was facing this way. I will not see what will not make me pray well. So now, she was not leaving and wanted to close the door. As she bent to close the door, hey, Rika! The way I turned, the speed at which I turned to just hold myself, you can see, you know, the way she just packed herself together. She was like, sorry, you. In my mind, next time, you behave yourself well. She said, sorry, you. Sorry. If it was some other people, as at this time, now, I was not trying to form, now, let me be very clear. I was not trying to form like I'm so spiritual or something. Maybe currently now, I would just try to behave myself more so that she would not feel so embarrassed. Are you with me? But that was happening because it was irritating. Are you following what I'm saying? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Soak yourself so much in the Spirit that, you know, one time in the university, I will end with this story. People had prayed. Young people had prayed, boys and girls had prayed. This boy had so prayed. Then he was passing a boy and a girl that they just wanted to start kissing. He prayed in the Spirit and passed them. As he was passing them like this, The girl did not know what came over him. Obviously, his spirit of holiness that came on him. He pushed the girl and said, I reject you in Jesus' name. After he did not know when he said that, pushed the lady. When the human being that was praying had passed, he just dawned on him that, what came over me? Glory. It was there, he began to dawn on him. Ah, that guy. Something passed from that guy. There have been times where I've prayed like that. People who are misbehaving. When David passed, see, I don't know. As you passed, I just felt like, Kai, I'm wasting my life. No. That thing I felt, something just... Are you with me? That energy you would have invested in pornography, you can invest it in going deeper in the light. You can invest it in making your wings stronger, Kai, so that you can fly. This may not be for everybody. This may not be for everyone listening to me, but it's for somebody. God is telling you, the time you would have wasted into sin, mend your wings. Put yourself together. There is more inside your destiny than that thing. Are you hearing me? Instead of going for hay and stubble, go for gold. Go for gold. So how do you purge yourself? Number one is what? Feed yourself with the things of the spirit over and above the things of the flesh. Number two, outright rejection of opportunities to sin. Number three, watch your associations. And number four, walk in the spirit. Glory! Glory!